This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Calling Grass Nation, we are conducting an audience survey at gum.fm/touchgrass. And we want to hear from you so that we can keep making content you love.
You know this. We know this. There are ads on our podcast. Mm-hmm. We want to improve that experience. But in order to do so, we need to know a little bit more about you, our audience. This survey is quick, easy, and a free way to support this podcast. It'll take 2 minutes and you'll be helping us out so much by doing it.
Yes, so go to gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our audience survey. That's gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our survey. Thank you for using your precious time online to help us with our podcast.
We love you.
You got mail.
Hi, I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is
Go Touch Grass,
the podcast where we log in.
So you can log off.
Millie and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this podcast, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you can use that time to be with your family.
Yeah, be with your family and go touch some grass. And if you like what you hear today and want to hear some more, we have a Go Touch Grass Patreon already up and running with all our test episodes, mini trending topics, a weekly newsletter, and our spin-off series, Search History, where we go back and break down a viral discourse from the past.
And guys, if you like the podcast, you can leave us a 5-star rating and review. But guess, we have a really exciting announcement.
Yes.
We have reached the end of our road to 100.
Yes.
We've been soliciting 100 reviews on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We did it. I think we're at 101 reviews
on Apple Podcasts. And we have a lot more on Spotify.
Yeah. And so we're very, very excited. We want to thank everyone who reviewed the podcast.
So
if you didn't get a chance, hey, you still can.
You always can.
You always can
review. The door is always open for that. Of course. 200 reviews is great.
Yeah, you know, we're on the road to 200.
Yeah,
I guess.
But the road will take a little. We'll take a little walk.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll give you a break from hearing about that.
So, like we said, Millie and I are going to record a very special episode. It's going to be a video episode. We're going to release it on our Patreon for free, so everyone will be able to watch it. And Millie, do you want to let the people know what this episode is going to be about?
So, as all of you know, we constantly say, "Put a pin in that discourse," and that has become an unofficial slogan here at Go Touch Grass. So we will be picking from a list of pinned discourses that that we've had since we launched, and that's both on free feed and Patreon apps. So a friend of the pod, Tyler Chambers, has
been at my wedding.
Yeah, officiant at Elise's wedding, has been keeping track of every time we say put a pin on that discourse. So we're gonna have a whole episode unpinning those discourses and talking about it. And there's a lot of stuff about the Dilbert guy. There's a lot of stuff that we can't get into because it's so loaded.
Because there's so much to
say. There's so much to say, and we're going to say stuff about that.
And we're going to, so we'll be discoursing on the pinned discourses, and we'll let you guys know when we've organized to do all of that.
Yeah,
so
but
stay
it's
going to
be really fun. There's some really fun, there's all serious stuff, and then there's very unserious, silly things that we'll tease for that.
So we're very excited. And now, here's something else we're very excited about. Without further ado, let's get into our episode. We have an incredible guest with us today. She is a comedian, actress, writer, filmmaker, and host of Fake the Nation right here on the HeadGum Network. It's Nagin Farsad!
Oh my god, hello!
We're so excited to have you.
I'm so excited to be here. I also feel like it's such a momentous episode for me to be on with the road to 100 having been reached.
Yes!
What a wonderful day.
I know. It's like the reward. We have a separate reward, but the reward is Nagin's.
Yes. Yeah. And you, as a podcaster, you've walked the road to 100 yourself.
Absolutely. Yes.
And what a road it is.
Yes. Right. We're going on 400 episodes of Fake the Nation,
which
is absolutely absurd.
That is truly incredible.
I know.
And we were saying a little bit about this before we started recording, but Millie and I come from the world of political chit chat well. So just to kick us off, why don't you tell our listeners, if they don't already know, What is Fake the Nation? Why did you start it? When did you start it? What could they expect from listening to your show?
Well, Fake the Nation started in 2016. So at a very similar point during the primary elections of 2016. And I remember at the time our executive producer was saying, hey, I feel like we're talking about Trump like in every episode. And I was like, oh, I know, but don't worry. The second he loses this election, we'll never talk about him again. So don't worry about it. And then how crazy, how wrong were we? But luckily, the show is not, the show kind of breaks down into, there's a political segment, there's a cultural segment, there's like just like a human segment. Mm-hmm. So every week we break down three topics, and it's me and usually a panel of two comedians and some other type of cultural luminary. So it'll be people like Samantha Bee, Neil deGrasse Tyson,
incredible,
John Lovett, W. Kamau Bell. I mean, all these people have come through and come through regularly on the podcast. So we're lucky enough to have those voices wax hilarious about American life. That's what we do.
That's beautiful. Do you have any memories of your immediate post-2016 election episode, or is that a black box mentally?
Well, I mean, the crazy thing was the direct morning after the election, I had to go speak on the CBC, Canadian Public Broadcasting, and then I also had to speak on NPR about the election, and everyone was having me on as comedian Nagin Farsad is going to say something hilarious about Hillary Clinton's pantsuits, right? It was like that was what was anticipated of me. And then they were like, comedian Nagin Farsad will please bring us out of this global depression we're feeling, you know?
Yep.
And it was a really, really weird day of talking onto mics.
Yeah.
Speaking of weird day, I mean, as you're talking about this, I'm remembering where I was and how I was feeling. And famously, Elise was at Jacob Javits.
I was at the Javits Center.
Oh, yeah.
Hillary celebration.
Yes. The election night event.
Yes.
Thought it was going to go different.
Yeah. You were probably wearing like a real fun
festive outfit.
Oh, I
had on so many buttons,
yes,
girl. Yes. I had buttons that said Presidenta.
Yeah.
For her.
Yeah, you did.
And when they called Florida, a woman next to me fainted, collapsed on the ground, and I said, I think it's time for us to leave. Yeah. And so I did leave
early.
Can
someone tend to this lady? See you later.
I honestly hope she stayed down. I don't think I said, girl, don't. There's
you're not missing
left
anything.
For us here.
Yeah.
American version of that German film, Goodbye Lenin.
Millie,
yes.
I think you're going to kick us off with a game. This
yes,
is one of our classic.
Game. We have a classic game that we play here on Go Touch Grass, and we're starting today's episode. The game we call What Are They Talking About?
Mm-hmm.
And how the game works is I read you guys a reply comment, a reply to something, and then you have to guess, what is this person talking about?
Mm-hmm.
What are they responding to? What is eliciting this response? And the thing is, no one ever gets it right.
Okay.
Yes. And only one person has ever gotten it right, and it's because they saw the tweet beforehand.
Yeah, they also...
Wait, so you're going to read me a comment, and I have to guess what it's about?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Got you.
It's extremely hard.
Okay.
There's no way you can know.
Okay.
So today's tweet is from everyone's favorite Canadian conservative, racist, fatphobic, benzo-addicted, Kermit the Frog voice-ass, alt-right commentator, Jordan Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
Initial thoughts about our boy JP?
I think he's unpleasant.
Okay. I will go on record in this saying the same.
Wow.
I find
We're
him
really
unpleasant.
Bringing out the sass in the
I find
it's like
him
when
unpleasant.
Flanders like yells at someone. It's like, I'm not gonna give you beer. I'm just gonna give you foam. Okay, so here's the tweet. You have become pathetic beyond comprehension at AP Associated Press.
Okay.
And the woke death will soon visit you.
Okay.
What do you think Jordan Peterson is replying to? What is he talking about?
Okay. So the AP clearly tweeted an article of some kind.
Something. So what do you think the article was about?
Okay. I'm going to guess that it was about the French ratifying into their constitution the right to an abortion.
Okay. So you say French ratifying the constitution to an abortion, Elise. That's a great quote.
Thank you so much.
I just know that he in the past has become very incensed at any time like he sees a fat woman happy in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah,
so maybe something about like obesity and health or something that features a fat woman in any way.
Yeah, I know my Instagram would send this man
he's not healthy, so I don't think we should send
him. He couldn't handle seeing
Millie just going about her daily life happy. Yeah.
Well, it's one of my punchlines where I posted a selfie of me one time and a very kind person commented, and I know they mean it like really well. They're like, just love seeing fat people have a good time. I'm like, okay, cool. But
cool, thank you.
Yeah, cool. Well, you guessed French ratifying abortion and you guessed something about obesity. The answer, you guys are both wrong. Okay. The article is a New Jersey city that limited street parking hasn't had a traffic death in 7 years. And that, my friends.
Wait, so he said the woke death is coming for them because of limited street parking?
Yes, because anti-car is gay. And that's, you know, not having street parking is going to...
Not having street parking emasculates men.
Yes.
Wow. I didn't realize that...
And the city's Hoboken. The city's Hoboken.
Which I want to go on the record as saying a bit of a bro-y town.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
It's actually
the most
like...
masculine of cities.
Like, I mean, you probably have some fans there, Jordan.
Yeah, I would say that Jordan Peterson could very safely enjoy a stroll down
Hoboken.
Down the streets of Hoboken.
By the way, this is I've had enjoyable times in Hoboken, so I'm not trying to discredit Hoboken in any way, but I'm just saying. Yeah.
Listen, my family's from Union City right next to Hoboken.
Yeah.
I've
partied at the Shannon Pot, and the Hobokens, they know. They know what I'm talking about. Good times have been had up and down Washington Street in Hoboken.
And I bet more good times are being had because of the limited
street parking.
Because
no one's dying by a car. Well, that's some woke mob. So that's
That's a really large reaction to parking in general.
That it really surprised me because usually his beat is usually like being anti-trans, again, like fat.
It's like
people.
The day I realized that I found out gas stoves were political.
Right.
And I was like, oh, are we all going to be angry about stoves now? Because I had stoves in the solidly neutral ground for my whole life, and now parking.
Yeah, I get...
Parking is more, like, contentious.
It's contentious between drivers and non-drivers.
Yes.
But I don't know if there's a political...
It's not woke or not woke.
Right.
Yes. You're right. Yeah. It's always been contentious, but it hasn't had a political affiliation. But I'll say the right really reserves their right to drive. So
True.
Not the right for bodily autonomy. No, that's terrible. But the right to drive. To park,
and to hit someone with your car.
Also, yeah, you're from Canada. What are you doing in Hoboken? I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like, put a pin in Jordan Peterson's discourse.
And that's why
maybe we'll get to it in our special episode. We have a big discourse today.
Nagin,
we told you our main segment for the podcast, it's called The Discourse. It's where we get into something everybody online is talking about. We have never, in the history of this podcast, so since December, we have never had a topic requested, DM'd, begged for, like what we are talking about today.
That's important.
Today we are talking about the Glasgow Willy Wonka experience.
Oh, yeah.
A new Firefest has dropped.
Yeah.
Yes. A new Firefest is on the scene. We know how much people love a Firefest or a Firefest adjacent story. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten one. So just before I get into it, you heard a little about it.
Yes, a little.
I'm excited because you're a parent. So,
yeah, this is the kind of thing I would take my child to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we'll get a unique perspective.
Yes. We do need a parent's perspective.
Yeah,
honest.
I'm here to do that for you.
Wow, thank you.
All right, so we'll set the scene. Basically, this event was scheduled to take place February 24th and 25th in Glasgow, and it was advertised as an immersive experience for families, themed around but not officially affiliated with Roald Dahl's Willy Wonka. Tickets cost £35, which is roughly $44.
Mm-hmm.
And so to start out, Nagin, I'm going to show you one of the actual ads for this event. And I want you to just read it and then let us know. We call these bloops. Let us know if anything bloops for you is an indicator that maybe the event was not totally above
board. Yeah, when your red flags will start waving.
Okay, entertainment. Cat. What? Cat-gagating. Live performances. Catchy tons. There's so many. Is it on purpose?
There are
typos,
so many,
right?
typos. Okay, but is that I actually don't remember Willy Wonka, like, from my the last time I saw it was in my childhood, and apologies to Timothy Chalamet. But okay, Exorcist lollipops, a passadice of sweet teats. Okay.
Yes.
So yes.
So
okay.
The ad, this is an actual ad that was placed for the Willy Wonka experience. And yes, it
and
does
it was
say,
not copy edited.
It was not copy edited. It was, we will find out that most of this experience was created by AI, as was this ad.
I see.
Which is why it says, and churning entertainment, catagating, which I don't know what. I think enchanting entertainment is supposed to say enchanting entertainment.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Catagating, I don't know. Live performances is spelled correctly. Catchy tons.
Catchy tons.
Catchy tons.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exacerbate lollipops. That I'm not sure.
I had no idea.
And passadite of sweet teats.
Paradise
of sweet treats.
Yeah.
So. To pacify some sweet teeth. That's a Tuesday
so
night.
So that yeah. was the formal ad yeah. that was presenting this experience.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That was posted,
so
I think, to the Facebook.
I mean, my first thought is this looks like crazy town. So I'd be like, oh, I'm not taking anyone to this thing. It's obviously garbage, right? Like,
yeah.
This is not, you know, like, I went to the, like, Van Gogh,
I did too.
Right? The
paid
thing
like
$60 that's
for that
exactly,
shit.
That surround sound, blah, 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 blah.
Saver.
But I mean, they still did their job. You
yeah.
know what I mean? It
yeah.
was a screensaver, but I gotta be honest, I tuned out and really paid attention to it for like 30 minutes or whatever, however
yeah,
long
it was.
It was cool. My mom really loved it. Great thing for the parents. And that's, I would expect that level of attention to detail from an ad, because there are these live experiences now.
Yeah, like yeah. these Instagram kind of activation
right.
type events.
For pictures, yeah.
Exactly. So now, this is telling me no one has paid attention.
Well.
Yeah. So basically, that's one of the ads, but it's also, there were all of these, we now know, AI-generated images that were advertising like a mystical tunnel adventure and all of a paradise of sweet treats and all these different things that your kids were going to be able to do. Mm. You're going to go to this event
mm-hmm.
and they're going to have so much fun and they're going to be, you know, dazzled by
yeah. Yeah.
this event. That's not exactly what happened.
No.
So people turned up expecting Paradise of Sweet Treats. And what they got instead was an empty warehouse full of just sort of haphazardly placed candy-themed decor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just like a couple of guys came and put like two bins of Jolly Ranchers?
Yeah. So empty warehouse full of kind of like one smoke machine, so everything is like a little smoky in there.
But it also looks like they're just like card tables with like maybe a few chairs.
Yeah.
Yes.
And maybe there's like a bowl of like Jolly Ranchers.
Yeah.
Well,
so that get we'll
even.
Get into it.
Not
there
even.
Was a bounce house. There is an image that shows a single bounce house.
Okay.
Which I as a kid like
that's
I
a
could
legit
have
attraction.
A lot of fun in a bounce house
yeah.
for a good amount of time.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah. I by the way, I've seen many a child get a good, like nice concussion in a bounce house. So it's definitely a form of entertainment.
Yes.
There was a bounce house from my childhood that I think about all the time. It was at a Halloween event that I went to, and you went into a caterpillar's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
And then you bounced around all inside his digestive system.
Yeah.
And there were like things to represent the caterpillar's digestive system,
oh, so
and then
you
came out his butt.
Oh!
So, like, the human centipede live or something.
Yeah, but it was supposed to be educational.
He composted you, the
yes.
caterpillar.
Wow.
It's really
you're
lovely.
You're eaten and pooped out by a caterpillar, and I remember that bounce house. I was like, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I, you know, in a way, aren't we all caterpillar shit?
Yeah. Metaphor for life. Metaphor for life.
I'm going to say, though, like, well, I don't know if we're going to get into it, but I'm like, this could be a good, like, come up in money. Like, if they actually spent $5,000 on Alibaba on random shit, you could do this, like, and make a profit. Like,
the idea is good.
The idea is good.
Yeah, like, and I feel like is also, here's the other thing. Wouldn't they be sued by, like, the Roald Dahl estate, by the studio that made the movie, by a whole host of people who could sue them?
So they did attempt to get around that. So, okay. As we can see, Paradise of Sweet Treats, it was not. There was no chocolate available at the event.
Oh my God. Even though it was promised in the flyer.
Yes. And we'll get into all the performers in a second. But one of them said that basically there was like a small number of jelly beans that she had to ration out 3 per child. And then this table where you could get a quarter cup of lemonade.
Wow.
That really looks like a table where like.
It looks really sad.
Yeah. It looks like a pea cup. Table, yeah, basically. Which, like, that's the risk you run with lemonade in general, but this looks really bad.
Well, also, this is what I say, like, every time someone's like, we need healthcare or something kind of like, people are like, ah, socialism, you want to be like Venezuela or Cuba, like, look at what, you know, it's like, we're living that now. 3 belly jelly beans per person.
Well, this is in Scotland. I think they have healthcare there.
Yeah, they do. And guess
what? I think they do have the health. They get all the free stuff, but they also have the
And they're rationed out pickups. I'm just saying. I'm just saying the future that we're all scared of is happening.
But yeah, but that really just looks like a prison rec room.
Yeah.
And that is,
prison
yeah.
has, they have Oreo. They get more than 3 jelly beans in prison. If you have commissary.
Yeah, depending on how much you have on your card, you can actually have a better time. Okay, so this event starts to take place. Images and videos start going viral pretty much immediately. Some of the top things that are going viral are just a side-by-side comparison of, like, the AI-generated ads versus the sad warehouse that I just showed you. There's now, there's a very iconic image now of a sad Oompa Loompa who's just kind of standing next to a fog machine with, like, kind of vague science equipment.
She does look like Elise.
Yeah, I was sent that image. As soon as that came out, I was sent it. Probably upwards of 25 times. My husband actually came into the room where I was working, made me stop working to look at the picture of the Oompa Loompa. And I did make a reel and TikTok about where I portrayed the Oompa Loompa. But the biggest character, my personal favorite meme from this, is a character that was invented for the event called the Unknown. This is a person dressed in black with a silver mask and a big fluffy wig who would pop out from behind a mirror and frighten children. So
just like in Willy Wonka.
Just like in Willy Wonka. So now I am going to play a video. This is my favorite video and image in general of the entire thing. It's very short, but I will show it to you now.
What is that? It's the end of...
Yes!
Yes, are you sure? Oh my God. What is that? It's the end of...
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths but have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Audible's best of 2024 picks are here. Discover the year's top audiobooks, podcasts, and originals in all your favorite genres. From memoirs and sci-fi to mysteries and thrillers, Audible's curated list in every category is the best way to hear 2024's best in audio entertainment. Like a stunning new full cast production of George Orwell's 1984. Heartfelt memoirs like Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson's Lovely One. the year's best fiction, like The Women by Kristen Hanna, and Percival Everett's brilliantly subversive James. Audible. There's more to imagine when you listen. Go to audible.com/imagine and discover all the year's best waiting for you.
Just the sad children's crying, being like, no! Gets me every fucking time. That is my favorite. So, in case anyone has any questions about this, the unknown is not
in
character
Willy
from Willy Wonka. The unknown, I'm going to plug it back in a second. The unknown is like a character invented by the event. And so the way that this happened is basically performers start coming out pretty quickly after it starts going viral to say, like, because as you saw in there, there's sort of a Willy Wonka. Someone was the unknown. They start coming out to like tell their story about how this event happened. The first is this guy, Paul Connell, who is the actor hired to portray Willie McDuff, a character based on Willy Wonka.
Gotcha. So that's how they got around the legal. Okay.
And he says that one day before the event, he was given a 15-page script of, and I quote, AI-generated gibberish, in which this character of the unknown was invented. So I personally think that whatever prompt they put into ChatGPT, ChatGPT kind of knows that a story has to have an antagonist. And so it just invented this character.
Right.
We did get one little bit of the script. This is the script that how the unknown is introduced. Millie, would you like to play the role of Willie McDuff?
Yeah.
And read this line from the script?
There is a man. We don't know his name. We know him as the unknown. This unknown is an evil chocolate maker who lives in the walls.
Okay. So an evil chocolate maker. Great.
An evil chocolate maker, which the guy who plays Willie McDuff was like, so does he make evil chocolate or is he evil and he makes regular chocolate?
Right. That everybody loves, which is an odd thing for an evil person to do.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of, it's confusing.
Yes. What makes him evil? Yeah.
What makes him evil? Why does he live in the walls?
Right. How does he make chocolate in the walls? So many technical questions involved.
I guess because Willy Wonka, it's like, who is the villain in the Willy Wonka story? I'm like, some may say it's Willy, some may say it's those children.
I feel like at least some of the children
are villains. So it's like, if you want people to come to your thing, I understand the ethos of like, okay, well, we can't make our customers the villains of the story, so we have to make a new villain, or we have to tell ChatGPT to make a new villain.
Yeah, I guess just crazy. Also, I feel like if they just delivered on like fun, cool stuff and chocolate, there wouldn't need to be a villain at all.
I mean, like if you go, look, I haven't been to the Harry Potter store here in New York City.
Oh, it's right there. It's a block away.
It's very close to where we're sitting right now. I've also seen lines of people around it in, you know, throughout my time here in New York City.
Yeah.
It's a successful place. I think you just need to have the stuff in the movie. Like, no, I mean, you know, it's not like that deep, to be honest. You just need things in it.
I just feel like if you would have put like candy place, it doesn't even have to be Willy Wonka. But if you put candy place live where you can take your family on a weekend, it's probably still cold in Glasgow. Like, there's not many things you can do with kids during the winter. Like, you want to have an activity to do indoors.
Yes.
So it's like, if they had 10 bounce houses and a bunch of candy, they would have been fine without a theme.
Toss this chocolate coin in a bucket and win another chocolate coin or whatever. Yeah, like, it's simple.
We should start our own, guys.
I know. I feel like we just did it. We just designed it.
The actor, the Willie McDuff actor, said that, like, the script also included stage directions for the audience because, like, again, it was made by ChatGPT. And it also called for him to defeat the unknown using a giant vacuum cleaner. But when there wasn't one on site, he was just told to improvise. which is extremely funny to me. We also hear from Christy Patterson, aka the sad Oompa Loompa, which were called Wonkadoodles in the script. So again, but yeah, but it's very funny to call them Wonkadoodles, but Willy Wonka's name is Willy McDuff.
So what did they do? McDuffadoodles?
Yeah, I'm like, they should be McDuffadoodles.
Yeah.
She did a full interview in Vulture because where she said one, she was very adamant to be like, that's a really bad picture of me, which I get.
Yeah.
I understand. She also says that the actors, like, she's a working actor. She took the job. She got it off Indeed. They got there the night before. They were told basically, like, oh, don't worry. The warehouse is going to be like, we're working all night to get the warehouse looking better. They arrived. It looked exactly the same as it had the night before. And at a certain point, like, it was just going so badly that the actors just decided to, like, abandon the script and just start kind of entertaining
the children
as best they could.
Because it's so sad that they were expecting things. That's the other thing is, like, you know, I was supposed to take my daughter to a play date on Saturday, mm-hmm. and that play date had to be canceled because the other kid got sick or whatever. My daughter cried so hard. Mm-hmm. Because they have expectations.
Yeah.
And then when you really, I mean, it's their kids. And then if you show them just like an empty warehouse with a creepy guy called the unknown, like, that's sad.
And also, like, bare minimum to tell a kid they're going to get chocolate and then there's no fucking chocolate.
No, give them three jelly beans.
You get three jelly beans. That
is criminal. It's criminal.
And you know what? Nagin, the police were called.
Speaking of criminals.
So, like, because of the fraud? Like, what was the basis of the police being called?
That's a question that I do have.
It was fraud. It was because of the fraud.
It was basically, like, the parents were pissed. Stuff started to get really contentious. The Willie McDuff actor said that they thought that there was a high potential for violence at a certain point because people were pissed that they paid money to see this thing.
People get pissed about their kids, honestly.
But also, I just want to say, as someone who spent a little bit of time in Scotland, those people drank. I would not be surprised. And you know, so, like, who? And also, like, if you've ever, I live next to, like, a Premier League soccer stadium, which was, like, very scary every time there was a match, you know. So it's like they'll take any excuse.
I think it started to get hot, and the police were called. Actually, just yesterday, I think we got the most anticipated reveal when a 16-year-old girl named Felicia came forward to reveal that she was the unknown.
Yeah, she's a very cute mixed black girl.
Yeah, who
it wasn't,
and this
a
her
wig,
first acting,
it was her actually, it was her hair.
It was her first acting gig ever.
Oh.
And she said the other actors were really, really nice to her. But yeah, she was the unknown. So if you thought that the unknown was a straight white man, think again.
Think again.
Think again.
God's a black woman.
Defying stereotypes.
The unknown could be anybody.
The silver lining of this entire event was shattering stereotypes.
I will say one unfortunate thing is that the actors have either not been paid or only received half of what they were promised.
Payment,
so
yeah, because where is that money? I mean, how much money was made?
Do we know? So here's how I'll round this out. How did this happen? The event was organized by a group called, get ready for it, House of Illuminati. And House of Illuminati, it seems to be just one guy. This guy, Billy Cole. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it, but it's very interesting that all these scammers are named Billy. Mm. Billy McFarland, Billy Cole. Mm. Either way, he has a history of AI-generated shit. He's registered, like, a bunch of different companies that are now defunct. He did a now-defunct food bank that I think was maybe a scam food bank.
How do you AI food bank?
And he,
that's terrible.
And he also has independently published 17 AI-generated books on various topics, including vaccine conspiracies.
Cool.
So, like I said, the police got called. Refunds, according to them, refunds are going to be issued for at least 850 people, according to a statement from the event's Facebook page. Cool did admit that AI was used to create a lot of this yeah. event. And House of Illuminati has released a statement saying they will not be hosting any future events. And Billy has deleted his LinkedIn and his YouTube. So that is the saga of the Glasgow Willy Wonka experience.
But if George Santos taught us anything, is that we will hear from that guy again.
He'll be back.
Yeah. He'll be in Parliament. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, literally.
McFarlane, yeah, he came back and did some shit.
Billy McFarlane came back, so I, you know, House of Illuminati maybe will go by a different name.
Mm-hmm. It'll be like Schmaus of Schmalumalati.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. The Illuminati doodle. Yeah. But, yeah, I think it's been a while since the internet we saw such a font of memes mm-hmm. as what the Glasgow Willy Wonka experience gave mm-hmm. to us. I will say it was another day where Twitter was fun again.
Yeah.
TikTok was fun again.
Yeah.
It was the stuff that the internet was made for.
Yeah, it happens once in a while.
Yeah.
And it's really beautiful.
It is beautiful.
And again, a silver lining is that we got some memes out of it.
Yeah.
And that's everything.
And I do hope everyone gets their 35 quid back, but and in the scheme of like scams, I feel like the thing about it that probably gave it so much juice is that at the end of the day, no one's like hurt or harmed badly by a bunch of kids showing up to a weird warehouse and getting free jelly beans.
And the loss of $44 isn't like, you know, the biggest amount. So it's sort of like, even if you did lose $44, it's still like you can have a laugh.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Because with Firefest, I mean, Firefest, that was a larger... People were trapped.
Right. Yeah. That was different. That was a
different.
And
like workers were exploited. Like there was some pretty bad, there are some bad elements to Firefest.
Put a pin in that discourse.
Should we move on to our next segment?
Yes, our segment. Our next segment is Polititalk, and it's, you know, just political discourse that we talk about.
Perfect for you.
Yeah, join us specifically. Yeah. And today's political discussion will focus specifically on the economy and what I feel is the true cause of our current inflation crisis.
Wow. We're putting our economist hats on.
Economist hat. Kirk Tanner, CEO of Wendy's fast food chain, told investors on a call in February that starting as early as 2025, Wendy's would begin testing features including dynamic pricing and day part offerings, similar to Uber's surge pricing based on demand, especially during peak hours of the day. Tanner's comment sparked an online backlash. And this is another instance where the internet was fun. There are tons of memes on Twitter about people saying that they're going to start buying burgers at a low price and flipping them for profit. Or getting a bunch of Frosties in the winter.
Wow, it changes the meaning of flipping burgers.
Yeah, exactly. Flipping. You flip the price. Selling burgers like drugs, or even like stocks, like shorting stocks for burgers. Somebody said they're going to stack their freezer.
Dumb money. Yeah.
Exactly. Dumb money, but with Wendy's burgers. Somebody says they're going to stack their freezers during the winter with Frosties. And then in the summer, they can do Frosties.
Unload them Frosties. Yes. Frosties are good.
So some people say that this is a branding issue because other restaurants, they don't raise the prices when it's popular. They lower the prices when it's slow and call it happy hour. So that's like an argument of like a lot of restaurants that deal with this issue, but you just charge less for off-peak times. But people were mostly pissed, including U.S. Senator and former presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren, who tweeted, "At Wendy's is planning to try out surge pricing. That means you can pay more for your lunch, even if the cost of Wendy's stays exactly the same. It's price gouging, plain and simple. And American families have had enough."
I love Elizabeth Warren,
yeah, me
first
too.
Of all.
Me too.
When she, we have in our at Fake the Nation, we found out when she was dropping out of the race while we were taping, and I legitimately cried. And there was a conservative who's now a mayor, this wonderful panelist named Weston Wamp, who's now the mayor of Hamilton, Tennessee, and he was like, I obviously don't care for Elizabeth Warren as a conservative, but like I totally feel it was me and Ophira Eisenberg and this guy, and he was like, I feel for you, like how strongly that you felt for her. And I was such a devotee of Elizabeth Warren. But this is, I mean, I think, first of all, they really fucked themselves by mentioning anything about surge pricing. Like, why would you even do that? Because that dynamic pricing is like what you see with airlines, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
If you buy your flight in advance versus kind of middle way versus like the day before, all those prices are going to be different. Mm-hmm. And that's dynamic pricing. Airbnb does the same thing. I mean, dynamic pricing is a fact of everyday life. I want to say, for the record, I hate it. It's annoying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's one of those things. I mean, the internet is good. I would take it all back, me, with the internet. Like, I grew up without the internet until, you know, like, I didn't have it in, you know, it was around when I was in high school, but, like, it wasn't ubiquitous.
Yeah.
And then it was ubiquitous. By the time I was in college, it was just, like, unavoidable and everywhere, but, like, I remember thinking, like, oh, it's nice, like, you know, not to have to download directions, you know, not to have to, like, write down directions to a location or whatever.
Yeah.
But I would really take it all back, because all of this, I mean, the fact that Wendy's can figure out a way to price gouge, and I think price gouging is the right term for it. Like, if you're, I mean, those burgers aren't so great. I mean, that we need to change the prices on them. Also, they're square. So I don't know.
Yeah, I just can't get behind bringing surge pricing to fucking Wendy's burgers.
Yeah.
Like, I get it in terms of, like, travel and accommodations to a certain degree because there are, like, peak seasons or whatever. But, like, every business has times where they're busy or not busy. Like, that's just being a restaurant.
Yeah, you take the average. Yeah, you know, I mean.
Yeah, and like you were saying, like, there are things you can do to incentivize the downtimes, happy hour, whatever. Mm-hmm. We do $2 wings, whatever. But, like, to try to bring the Uber surge pricing model to fucking Wendy's and think people are going to be like,
super cool
totally.
With it.
Yeah. During a time where, like, everyone is feeling inflation. Mm-hmm. Everyone is feeling.
I would say to Wendy's, try having just generally a better product, and then maybe people will just flock to you more.
Yeah, or maybe release a fancy burger.
Yeah.
Like, what is your version of the McRib? You know, what is the thing that'll, like, drive people to the, you know, to the store during a particular campaign?
Yeah. Well, y'all, to respond to you, again, this went super viral. There were a ton of memes. People were pissed. All of this commotion caused the home of Square Burgers to backtrack, saying in a statement to Reuters on last Wednesday, that it would not raise prices when our customers are visiting us the most. Its initiative is to add digital menu boards to certain stores, and that would allow Wendy's to offer discounts to customers more easily, particularly, quote, in the slower times of the day, the company said. So, happy hour.
Yeah.
Wendy's also claimed that the menu boards would provide more flexibility to change the display of featured items, saying that the comments that they said that they would do surge pricing were misconstrued in media reports to rage, and they have no plans to do that. But it's like, how can you be misconstrued when that's literally what you said to your investors and to franchise owners? It's like, no, you got caught. Everyone made memes about it. You look stupid. And now you're walking a bet.
And now you're calling a surge price a discounted price, which is the exact opposite of what you said.
Yeah.
Also, I just am like, I don't understand why the digital boards are a part of it. Like, I get that they're like, we can update the board anytime. I'm like, okay.
Still update your boards or whatever, but what
is...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. No, that sounds nice that you're adding a digital menu board.
Yeah, I guess it's like those kiosks that McDonald's has. But
yeah, I'm like, I'm not impressed because I've already seen it at McDonald's a million times.
Well, guys, speaking of dumbass CEOs, Kellogg's was one of the companies that raised their prices of products for no other reason than just to raise company and investor profits. Kellogg's has, within the last year, raised their prices by 28%. So
that's a lot.
That's a lot. So let's hear what multi-million dollar CEO of Kellogg's, Gary Pilnick, said last week on CNBC in response to the way American families are dealing with inflation.
Some of the things that we're doing is first messaging. We got to reach the consumer where they are. So we're advertising about cereal for dinner. If you think about the cost of cereal for a family versus what they might otherwise do, that's going to be much more affordable.
I'm all for innovation and marketing, but the idea of having cereal for dinner, is there the potential for that to land the wrong way?
We don't think so. In fact, it's landing really well right now, Carl. When we look at all of our data, of course, we would know that breakfast cereal is the number one choice for in-home consumption. We understand that for breakfast. It turns out that over 25% of our consumption is outside the breakfast occasion. A lot of it's at dinner, and that occasion continues to grow, as well as the snacking occasion. But cereal for dinner is something that is probably more on trend now, and we would expect to continue as that consumer is under pressure.
Well,
some of the things that we're doing is...
Did it land well, Millie? Well, how did cereal for dinner land?
Yeah, and just so you know, it's been part of a concerted marketing effort. They are showing families gathering around the dinner table and pouring cereal for dinner. And y'all, it did not land well.
Wait, I don't understand. Are they? Is it new products? Is it like Cheerios, but with filet mignon?
No.
It's literally just the same thing for dinner, baby.
It's the same thing.
But just eat it at 28%
dinner. 28% more expensive.
Right.
But now you can just eat it at dinner and save money. And don't give your family meat and vegetables or sustenance.
I think one of the great things is that they're the anti-nutrient company.
Yeah.
And this position really is made clear here with the cereal for dinner campaign.
I do love rebranding something that has been very classically associated with serious depression. Being like, everybody should just have cereal for dinner.
I associate it with like 90s movies where a character wakes up in the middle of the night and pours themselves a bowl of cereal as if like that, by the way, in human history has never actually happened. It only has happened in 90s movies.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to have late night cereal, I'm usually not making a full bowl. It's usually like dry hand into the
like
bag.
A few into your mouth. Yes, yes. You're not doing a whole sit down, pull out a napkin, like make a whole scene out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Cereal for dinner also to me elicits like, again, 90s movie where you're trying to show like a male character who doesn't have it
together before he meets the love of his
life. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Or he's like Mr. Mom and he doesn't know how to take care of his own children. Yeah.
Which honestly, hottest movie. With hottest men. Love a man who does domestic labor. He got it together by the end. By the end, he got it together. But yes, exactly. Like, no one's going to replace it. I'm just like, also.
But I am here for the idea of like a savory cereal. Okay, that has elements of like a dinner in a cereal format. Listeners,
isn't that soup?
Inventors among you.
That's soup.
Maybe it is, guys.
Or like porridge.
Did we just invent soup? I think
congee.
Yeah, that. But you know, I mean, if there's a thing that it's in a box and you pour it into a little oat milk. And it turns into a delightful dinner, but it's not it's not Frosted Flakes.
Yeah.
There's like an asparagus aftertaste.
Oh my God.
I'm like, that's a bowl noodle to me.
Yeah, that's
right.
But I guess I wouldn't put oat milk in it. So how do we find a savory milk base?
A savory milk base.
We're far from the point, guys.
This is an inventor challenge for your listeners. Yes. Go ahead.
Invent cereal for dinner. And give us some of the profits. But back to this.
Yes.
This did not land well. And people are pissed. TikToker at TallGirl6234 has called for a boycott of Kellogg's products in a video that has now 3.7 million views. Saying that consumers need to stop giving these companies more profits. And it sparked a lot of discussion. And we're going to watch a quick video in which this guy says enough is enough.
So this one content creator shared a video talking about a planned boycott of all Kellogg's products beginning on April 1st. I've tagged her in the captions of this video. I highly recommend you go watch it. It's in response to the fact that the CEO of Kellogg's came out basically saying, well, if you're having trouble affording groceries for dinner, just go eat some Frosted Flakes, which obviously pissed off a lot of people at the audacity of this man to say this, especially when he just recently boasted about increasing the prices of Kellogg's items by 28%. Just because he can, and apparently he needs even more money to add to his billions. But basically, this proposed boycott would begin on April 1st and would last for 3 months until they are forced to reduce the cost of their products. And if they don't, the boycott will continue until they do. She even mentions how for those of you who have become red dye addicted to their products, to start researching some of the generic brand options that are out there as an alternative, or to use this app to research family-owned companies that could sell items that are very similar to these galactic empire companies that evidently control everything that we eat or use. This to me is brilliant because it really does force us to ask, why aren't we doing more to stop this grip of control that these billionaire elites have on us? I can't believe I'm about to reference a Disney movie here. Did you all see A Bug's Life? I mean, at one point in the movie, one of the bad guys' henchmen suggests, why should we even bother messing with all the little ants, aka, you know, you and I, the regular people? To which he responds, because it's about keeping them in line. And if they ever figure out that they outnumber us 100-1, there goes our way of life. And does anyone remember how that movie ends? The ants come to the realization that, hold up, there are way more of us than there are of you, and they decide to...
I just think it's funny that he referenced
A Bug's Life. By the way, spoilers for those of us who haven't seen A Bug's Life. Apologies.
Can you spoil something that came out 25 years ago?
I mean, I haven't seen it, so well, there we go.
I don't think you're going to watch it.
You're the kids, you got to watch it. It's honestly good.
Can I also just shout out to Arizona Iced Tea, who throughout the pandemic, throughout the inflation crisis, never raised the popular cost of their iced tea, which was $1 or 99 cents. I think it's prominently displayed on their can that they have the 99 cent iced tea. And they never increased that price because they thought because the CEO, I think, went around being like, no, we have the profit still. It's fine. And that's the thing. It's like, guys, you already have profit. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, that's the thing that kind of both of these stories bring together for me is these like distant CEO, weirdo guys who probably like fly on fucking private jets.
Oh, they absolutely
I would do. Love to see what this guy's eating for dinner. Yeah. Like, who's genuinely don't understand how what they're saying sounds to people or what it's like to be a normal person he genuinely believes, like, oh, yeah, well, all the rabble would love to eat cereal for dinner. And it's like, no, man. Or like, yeah, people will pay extra for Wendy's during high-priced hours. And it's like, you are so far removed from the average person's experience that you don't even understand when you sound like an asshole.
Yeah, I guess the thing that really got me about the CNBC appearance is that he sounds so technical and sounds like he's not you're talking about food for families. And you're just like, well, according to our profits, like, and it's landing really well. And it's like, you sound like an asshole. You probably have never eaten a Frosted Flake in your life. And, like, it's also just, I guess, at the core of it is, too, is, like, a lot of the inflation we're experiencing now is just because companies can. It's just
because... Yeah, it's
because
price gouging. It's not genuine inflation. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's just, like...
Well, and I also want to say... In Canada, now, when we're talking about CEO pay and CEOs being in a bubble and CEOs being on private jets, you know, if you look at like the Canadian structure, you can't be a CEO that there's a cap to their salary. It has to be a certain number times what the lowest person in that company makes. In the United States, we pay ridiculous amounts, and this is just gone out of control in recent decades. It wasn't even like this is in the 60s and 70s. The CEO didn't make this kind of money. Exactly. Yeah. And so having a cap on those salaries connects them more to actual human life. What I mean?
Yes.
And this kind of thing really distances them. And they're in a bubble where they think that these price increases don't matter and that cereal for breakfast, first of all, wasn't already invented. And, like, is something that people want to do. So,
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Everything in my brain still goes back to the strike. But it's, like, these people who are so, these CEOs, these executives who are so far removed from the average person. And it's just funny to me because I'm sure if any of us were to suggest to the powers that be, like, we should cap CEO salaries, people would be like, socialism, blah, blah, blah. And it's, like, there are still rich people in Canada, baby.
Yeah,
there are still rich people in France.
Yeah.
Actually, some of the richest people in the world are actually in France. Mm-hmm. I promise you, you can still be really fucking rich in all of these places that have just a couple more rules.
Like literally two more rules. It's not a big deal.
Absolutely a handful of rules and you will 100% still be so rich. It's crazy how rich you can still be.
Well, that was our Politic Talk.
Politic Talk.
And now we're going to our final segment of the show, which is Grasshole of the Week. And Grasshole of the Week is somebody we believe that we nominate that needs to go touch grass, log off, get off the internet more than anyone else.
Yeah.
You know, and it's always hard. And sometimes we say it lovingly. Sometimes we say it not so lovingly. And today's probably mixed.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say, it's always hard every week to pick. But our Grasshole of the Week goes to rapper Meek Mill.
Wow.
And before we get into why he's Grasshole, you need to know a little bit of context. So Sean Diddy Combs was sued on Monday in federal court by a producer on his most recent album, who accuses the music mogul of sexually harassing, drugging, and threatening him for more than a year. The producer, Rodney Lil Rod Jones, says in the lawsuit that he lived and traveled with Combs from September 2022 to November 2023, during which the time he recorded hours of video and audio of Combs and his staff and others engaging in very serious illegal activity. Again, just really dark stuff. The whole Diddy lawsuit is really dark.
That's a pinned discourse.
We simply do not have enough time. But in the lawsuit, Jones also alluded to, quote, a Philadelphia rapper who dated Nicki Minaj, unquote, as one of the men in the music industry whom Diddy allegedly said he had sex with. Right? That is the thing. So, Philadelphia rapper who dated Nicki Minaj, people naturally deduced that the rapper Lil Rod was referring to was Meek Mill. And instead of simply having a lawyer draft a statement saying these allegations are false, Meek took a note from his ex-girlfriend's playbook and goes on a multi-day tweet hurricane.
Wow.
Tweet storm.
I feel like this is the first time, because Nicki Minaj has been our Grasshole in the past.
Yes.
And so it's interesting. We have two sides of a couple. Former couple.
Former couple.
We have two sides of a former couple now that we've had to say
Grassholing together.
Yeah, exactly. Or maybe the potential to be a Grasshole is what brought them together.
I was going to say, sometimes there's couples like Timothée Chalamet and Kylie Jenner where I'm like, what do they talk about? They have nothing in common, whatever. Meek Mill and Nicki Minaj, it's being clear.
Yeah.
It's being very clear what they have in common.
They're having lively discussions.
So, okay. A lot of things happened. I'm just going to chronicle like the top few things. So, one of the things that happens in this tweet storm is that he has to let people know he's not gay. So, this is what he tweeted. When I got a girl around me, I'm fucking her twice a day. LOL, some of y'all favorites. Ask some of your favorites. Pussy don't control me, but it's like a high. One love to the gay people, but that juicy pussy do it for me.
Yes, okay.
I done ran red lights great. that to get that feeling. Y'all weird on here, like devils. So he's saying that he loves women.
I also like that he pointed out that that he does it twice a day, mm-hmm. Because anything less than, you know, having sex with a girl twice a day definitely means you're gay.
Yeah, you're gay.
So it's a really good thing that he brought the
numbers
in.
No, he's so not gay that he's ran red lights.
Yeah.
And also, you know, it's not a high, but he just really enjoys
it. Yeah, and it doesn't control me, but if I am around a woman, I have to have sex with her twice a day. It's like
And following traffic rules is definitely very gay. So I'm glad he also pointed that out.
There's one more tweet and then we can continue, but every black blog site that, this is what he's tweeted, right? Every black blog site that enhanced that post to make me seem gay, I change laws for our people. I donate millions. They're designed to destroy the image of black leaders. It can't work on me, though. You got to really kill me, and I'll still get bigger after death. This God, not me. So, yes.
It is giving to me, like, very high school football player who is closeted, and so he doesn't want anyone to know he's gay, so he's saying a bunch of, he's like, I love pussy so much, I'm fucking staring at tits every single day. And I'm just like, you need to do less.
Yeah, if you do less, less is more.
Less is more.
So but we'll continue, right? So another thing that happens is podcast host, like commentator DJ Academics, who's again extremely problematic on his own, but we'll put a pin in that discourse.
So many pin discourses today alone.
Exactly. So he read all the pages of the lawsuit, because it's a federal lawsuit.
Nice.
On live stream and went viral, and Meek got heated and tweeted at him a bunch. And honestly, they're still beefing, but I'm just gonna read the top three tweets from that. Academics, an alcoholic fully powered by the white man. Who you think can post that on every website? They be so mad they can't stop its few groups. LOL. And then another tweet. He's an alcoholic with no life talking to kids on a computer. Normal kids watch Kai Cenat, who we talked about last week.
We did.
Aiden, who's problematic. Wilo Guiley. Then about academic. Then back to academics. You're a sick old black man with no life achievements, trying to destroy black men because you envy us men as men. It was a different tweet. Academics, didn't I tell you to stop playing with my name? I don't know what I'm gonna do when I actually see you. It's gonna have a combination to it though. So he's like threatening violence. He calls DJ Academics an old black man. DJ Academics is 32. Meek Mill is 36. So,
what? Oh my God.
Wait, so Meek Mill's older?
Yes. But he's like, you're old. You're too old to be on the internet live streaming, I guess was his point.
Okay. It is very.
But that's weird.
I know. I'm like, neither of you are old, first of all. You're still living the primes of your life.
Yeah.
Nobody's too old to be live streaming, I guess.
I also think, like. Having said nothing would have been better than all of this.
Well, we're going to keep going. Because he tweeted this. He starts saying that this is computer generated AI. The lawsuit is AI. First of all, he asked somebody, send me this lawsuit because this lawsuit is fake. And then he says that everything is AI. And then he says YouTube creators. So he tweets this thing about how YouTube creators target black celebrities with AI fake news. We have too much influence. Google deep fake AI. It's one of the most so basically he's saying that AI invented this lawsuit and it's not real.
But that can't possibly be correct, right? Because isn't a lawsuit like filed?
It's a federal court document. Then he links out the federal court document and says, look, I found the document and we can go on trail, not trial. And you can find where my name was mentioned. It wasn't mentioned. And also, I can get my credit card. I'll show you my credit card and cross-reference the dates in question. Okay, so he's crazy. He goes on and says it's AI. Then, finally, or just two things. Then Andrew Tate, who's other discourse, says, so P. Diddy was having sex with Meek Mill and Usher. And then Meek Will replied, was you sex trafficking women? Well, what the fuck is wrong with you, Brody? So it's like, that's pretty funny. And then finally,
I'll give that one to Meek.
Yeah, give that one to Meek.
Give that one to Meek Mill.
And then finally, he says that all of this is happening this AI lawsuit, all of this is happening because he's about to drop an independent album. And, you know, the industry is scared. And, what, you know, they're trying to hate him. And he's crushing this internet stuff. So, just in short, what say you before we wrap up on that?
Nothing is about you, Meek Mill, generally.
Yeah.
It's just none of, I mean, get out of your bubble, sir.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it is like, you weren't named. I know that it is easy to deduce who it's being talked about, right, because of the clues.
Yeah.
But really, in this situation, especially because the lawsuit is not AI.
Yeah.
Let's just don't say anything, man.
Now protest too much.
Yeah. Like, in this situation, you gotta just not say shit or release one, like you said, lawyer-related statement that is like, my client denies the allegations or denies any suggestion that he's involved in what's happening here.
The end.
The end, yeah.
Well, ooh, sorry. Everyone was commenting, like, get a PR, where's your lawyer, whatever. To that I say, look, Meek Mill, go touch some grass.
Go touch grass.
He says that he doesn't know any of this AI shit because he's too outside, but I would say maybe go inside, Google lawsuit first, what a lawsuit is, and then go outside and touch some grass.
I would say touch the doorknob to a lawyer's office. Yeah,
definitely.
Speak with a professional before saying any more.
Well, that was our grass hole. And this was another episode of Go Touch Grass.
It's another episode of Go Touch Grass, guys. We have ended our road to 100, but that doesn't mean you can't still leave us a 5-star rating and review. You can follow the podcast at Go Touch Grass Pod on everything. We've got weekly Patreon episodes. We've had a wonderful guest today. Nagin, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you, follow you, promote anything you've got to promote?
Yes. Hello, folks. Please, you can find me at Fake the Nation. Subscribe to that podcast wherever you find podcasts. It's also a HeadGum show, and it's super fun. Also, I have a piece out on a farm magazine where I went to a mushroom retreat and did a boatload of psilocybin.
Wow.
It's a very meaty piece. I literally did touch grass throughout that experience. Wow. And I would love for readers to read about it. And a lot of people are really interested in this kind of, like, you know, medicinal therapeutic mushroom experience. Mm. And I did it so that you can now learn about it and do it yourself.
Wow. I'm like, find
your enlightenment.
Yeah,
so you can
that.
Find me at Nagin Farsad on all of the things, the TikTok and the Instagram and all of it.
Wonderful. And you can find me at Pandalice on Instagram. That's PANDALICE. You'll see a video of me pretending to be the sad Oompa Loompa that everyone thinks that I look like. And you can find me at Elise Navidad on TikTok.
Yes. And you can find me at Millie_Tamaris on Instagram and on TikTok. And you can find me at Millie Tamaris, aka Wactose Intolerant, on Twitter. I'm still there. I'm still holding strong. We're still here, out here. So.
And it was fun this week. So it's good that you were on Twitter. It's
listen,
good.
Twitter
pulled through this week. And until next time,
go touch grass.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.